Welcome to Interparty Conflict, the podcast where we answer your questions so you can have the best tabletop gaming experience possible. My name's Gabe.
And my name is Jeff.
And we're going to answer your questions today.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Gabe, my name is Max Headroom.
You got to turn on the echo.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
There you go.
Echo. But first, I have a question, Jeff.
What's that?
How are you doing today?
What was that? I'm doing okay. Are we going to do this?
Whoa. Okay.
Okay. All right. We'll be doing this for the whole episode.
Oh, so, my goodness. So. I wish.
No.
Wish.
Sorry. Doing fine. How about you?
Doing all right. I'm a bit overworked at the moment. I mean, yeah. It's a story of my life, I guess. I've just got a whole bunch of stuff I want to get done. A lot of stuff I need to get done before our stream next month, which, you know, it's still a few weeks away, but like the stuff that I want to get done before then, I've been trying to get done for months and months.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's rough. Yeah. Skylar's been doing overtime at work. Like she worked like 60 hours last week.
And oh, I think my goodness.
She's trying to, they do like a, during the rush season, basically they give them a lot of overtime and it's optional, but you know,
I mean, hey, if you got the time for it, go for it.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely, you know, it seems very exhausting, but you know, she's really good at her job, so it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to work, yesterday. So I had to work a bit of overtime. I didn't work 60 hours, but, every time that we, and it was mandatory. So like, I couldn't even choose not to do it. It's a pain. Yeah. I mean, the money's nice, but like, sometimes I'm like, guys, I got enough money. I would rather be at home.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like if I had the money, I'd spend it to not be here.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, just been keeping busy, you know, trying to get stuff done. Nothing real, real big. My wife was out of town last weekend. I think I mentioned, last week that, that she was, and I had you and our friend Steve over.
Yeah.
And I made you guys some steaks.
Yes, you made some very delicious steaks.
I've come to realize that I really like T-bones.
Yeah, they're
really
good.
They're really easy to make, and they look really nice. Because like I've tried a lot of different cuts of steak.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's real easy to make them look good. Sometimes it's real hard to make them look good.
Sure.
And then sometimes they look good, but then like you're cutting through, you're chewing through so much gristle and so on.
Yeah.
The T-bones, it's pretty clear which, like where the gristle is and where the gristle isn't.
Right. It's like, you know, it's like a good, like cartoon, like, like cut, you know, cause like, you know, it's pretty easy to distinguish like, oh, that's a T-bone steak, you know,
sure.
Cause of, you know, the whole T-bone thing.
Yes.
But you know, it's like a cartoon where like they toss a cut of meat to like a dog or something,
right,
you know,
right.
Or like a lion in a zoo. And it's like, it's always a T-bone steak.
It's so always good. It's either a T-bone or it's just a nondescript circle of meat with a circle of bone in the middle.
Right. Yeah, whatever exactly. That is. It's just it's like random cut of whatever.
Yeah. But other than that, the day this episode goes out is going to be not only our game at the library.
Mm-hmm.
So that day, you know, I will have run a game at the library. And for that session, I probably won't be doing very much actual like running of a game. I think primarily I'm just going to have everybody level up their characters and see how much time we have left. Maybe run an encounter. And then after the game at the library, I'm going to be running the patron roll 20 game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that. That game should be a lot of fun.
Cool.
So one thing I want to mention is that last week we had on John and Angela from the podcast The Cantrip.
Oh yeah.
So they were great guests. It was a great episode. I just want to say thank you to them, everybody. If you did not already check them out, you should go check them out right now. Just go to iTunes or whatever, type in The Cantrip or The Cantrip Podcast. Sorry, some of them have it listed as The Cantrip Podcast.
Sure.
But so go check them out. They were a lot of fun and glad to have them on our show.
Yeah, it was a good time. Thanks for coming on.
You want to go ahead and get into this episode?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, Jeff, I want you to imagine you are walking through a dungeon.
Uh-huh.
And you're searching for some treasure.
Mm.
And give me a perception check.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shoot, I don't know where I was going to go. I thought I was assuming you were going to fail.
You were expecting the usual.
Okay. Well, how about this? You notice a tripwire in front of you.
Okay.
Oof. So what do you want to do?
I'm going to follow it along to see like where it leads to like the contraption or whatever.
Okay.
Like see what it's hooked up to.
It, you see that it is, goes into part of the wall and then it goes up and then around and you realize that there's a giant like log hanging from the ceiling that when you figure it probably would have like swung down and crushed you or something.
Whew, all right. Well, I guess I'll just kind of step over it carefully.
Okay. You step over carefully. You walk into the next room.
Uh-huh.
And when you get to the next room, from far away, it looked like you could sort of see what this room was. It was lit from beyond, so you could sort of see what was through there. But when you get there, you realize that the room you're in is actually, you thought that you could just see straight into the room, but there's actually sort of like a mesh, like a wall between you and the rest of the room. But through that mesh wall, you're pretty sure is treasure. You're pretty sure you might have found the treasure. Okay. So you get looking at this mesh wall and you look up and it goes just a little bit higher than you can reach where there's like a sort of like a, I don't know, a bar up at the top that it's connected to.
Uh-huh.
And then you see there's a mesh wall on your left side and on your right side. And then you turn back towards the door you came in and that same mesh wall is now filling the door. So you're in some sort of like a pen.
Huh.
And so you're there, you're looking around, and you notice on the ground, you just mistook them for rubble at first, but on the ground appear to be the shapes of animals, except they're made of some sort of like a soft material.
Okay.
So like there's a bunch of, I don't know, animal like statues or something made out of like cloth.
Huh.
And then you look above you, look straight up. You couldn't see it before you entered the room. There is something hanging above you that is a whole bunch of like little things branching off with like little things dangling from them. And you can hear there's sort of like an ethereal chime noise coming from them as they slowly rotate above your head.
Oh, man.
And you hear a very loud noise. The ground begins to shake and some sort of huge creature comes over to you and you see it peer over the edge of the pen. It looks down at you and you see this dragon say, "Well, it looks like the baby's woken up." And you realize that you have stumbled into the dragon's playpen horde.
Do I have like a, is there like a toy bin in the room?
In the pen or in the room?
In the room, yeah.
It's just outside the pen, but yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that's my little baby dragon's horde.
There you go. All right, so sort of inspiring that intro to the dragon's horde. This item today was submitted by Prozano, and the item is the Rattle of the Trickster God.
Mm-hmm.
So Prozano said that he and his wife recently had a baby.
Oh, congrats.
So congratulations to them. It was born about a month ago at this point.
Ah.
But they have a son named Miles. So hello, Miles. Welcome to the world. Hopefully you are listening to our podcast because our show is great.
Baby's first podcast.
Hopefully, there you go.
Hopefully.
So Prozano came up with this item that we will be covering today.
Cool.
So this is the Rattle of the Trickster God. This infant toy is more than it seems. It's of wood construction wrapped in gold. It has basic geometric designs around the egg-like top to the short, stubby handle. It has a beautiful red silk bow tied to it that seems impossible to get off.
Hmm.
So you tug at it and it just does not come off. This is a legendary rattle once belonging to a god of trickery. It could have belonged to Loki, Olidamara, or Sirik. Its origin is no longer known.
Hmm.
So depending on what campaign you're in,
sure,
you know. The rattle is treated as a rod and legendary artifact with a spell DC of 15 and a spell attack bonus of +3. It requires attunement. Once a PC is attuned, they roll on both minor beneficial properties chart and minor detrimental properties chart for the attunement. So with artifacts in the Dungeon Master's Guide, artifacts, in addition to their stated effects, also have some amount of like just bonus effects, some of which are good, some of which are bad, because you're just dealing with something of just such incredible power.
Cool.
The rattle allows the attuned to cast Prestidigitation as an action.
Mm.
The rattle has 5 charges and recharges 1d4 at dawn. So the Prestidigitation doesn't cost a charge. The charges are coming up. If all charges are spent, roll a d20. If you roll a 1, the attuned becomes a baby and must grow up again or have a dispel magic or similar spell cast at fifth level to return the attuned to their original age.
Whoa.
So don't use up all the charges.
Sure. You get turned into a baby.
Yep. And
like, and you have to age at normal speed.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Now, here's the good stuff, though.
All right.
As an action, you can spend one charge to use one of the following five effects. The first effect, cast invisibility. You can spend additional charges to cast the spell at higher levels, maximum of fifth level. So you can cast invisibility on yourself, cast it on somebody else, cast it on an object. You know, you just spend a charge to do it, spend more charges to cast it on multiple people at a time.
Mm-hmm.
The second effect is baby giggles. One creature you can see within 30 feet of you must make a wisdom saving throw or burst into uncontrollable laughter for 1 minute or until the creature takes damage.
Hmm.
So similar
to Tasha's
Hideous Laughter. I don't think Tasha's Hideous Laughter goes away if you take damage, though. But
yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I could look it up, but The next one, cast fear. That's all it does. You just cast the spell. The fear spell.
Nice.
I don't recall if fear has any additional effects if you were to use it on a higher level spell slot, but this item, if so, does not do that. Number four, cast conjure animals. You can spend additional charges to cast the spell at higher levels, maximum of fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So you summon some little critters to play with.
Nice.
Because you're a baby.
I guess.
And then they
should look like stuffed animals.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then number five, which I think is the most interesting and most existentially terrifying, baby clothes. One creature you can see within 30 feet of you has all of its clothes and armor transformed to infant size. Non-magical clothes and armor are affected, so magical clothing and armor, I guess, would not be affected. These clothes remain this size until the dispel magic or similar spell is cast on it.
I mean, the description doesn't say, but I would imagine that if you're wearing clothes and they are suddenly brought down to infant size, that could cause some problems depending on what the clothes are made out of.
That's true.
Like if it's just a simple cloth shirt, it just would rip.
Which could look pretty cool if you happen to be flexing at the time.
Right. You're like, grrr, and it just rips it and you're like, yes, I'm just that buff.
Yep. Like armor.
Right, yeah. If it's
what happens if your plate mail gets shrunk down while you're wearing it?
Yeah, if you're wearing full plate, would you basically just get like squished out of it? It'd be like, I don't like, would you be like being wrung through like a juicer or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, normally I'm generally a proponent of saying like spells that shrink or enlarge things don't really do that, because like people always say like, oh, what if you get eaten by a dragon and then you wild shape into a Tyrannosaurus Rex or something like that?
Yeah.
I always say generally, if you could use that to damage a creature, it would say so. But this is an artifact.
Yeah.
Like, so I would not scoff at the idea that this artifact could horribly damage someone by shrinking their armor while they're wearing it. I don't necessarily think it would kill them.
Sure.
But maybe, something's got to happen.
Maybe we like do some damage and then they would be restrained until they can like...
There you go.
Like, you know, until they can remove whatever is shrunken.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
This does make me think of something. Jeff, a long time ago, you had a birthday party.
Oh, okay.
Where this is not a Dragon's Horde intro. This is an actual story.
Okay.
you had a birthday party that was going to be superhero themed.
Oh.
If I recall.
Yeah.
So this was a long time ago.
This was a long time
ago. My wife and I think, had just started dating or something.
Yeah, it was very long
and,
time
ago. And I thought, okay, I want to dress like Superman. I think that would be funny. And then I figured I would just go to, like, Goodwill and buy just, you know, a cheap shirt and, like, cut out, like, a red S or whatever and put it on, you know, safety pin it to a blue shirt.
Uh-huh.
I thought it would be really funny if I was wearing, like, a really tight shirt. Not that I am in any way muscular, but I just thought it would be funny.
Sure.
So I went and I bought like a little kid's shirt. The whole time, my then girlfriend, Lisa, she was like, don't do that. That's a terrible idea. And I was like, no, it's going to be great. Just you wait. So I bought this like little kid's like small size shirt.
Uh-huh.
Went home, tried putting it on, and then I realized why it was a horrible idea. The thing stopped above my navel. And I did not want to be walking around this party with my belly sticking out everywhere. I think in the end, I ended up just pulling it as far as I could and then like safety pinning it to my pants. It probably looked awful, and I am embarrassed for my wife to this day for going along with me to this party.
So there's something that you've told me once about being embarrassed about something that happened in the past. The other people there probably don't remember it. I don't remember.
Okay.
I maybe remember there being bobby pins or clothespins or something involved, sure. But I don't remember it. I think I was wearing a brown shirt. Like
I remember what you were.
I was the guy from Peasant Quest. Was that?
Yes, that's what it was. That's what it was.
What is his name?
Rather Dashing.
Right. Oh my gosh. I was Rather Dashing.
Yeah.
It was just like a brown shirt because he's just like a peasant.
Sure. Sure.
Maybe I tried to have something that like had my hair on fire or something.
You had something on your head. I know that.
Yeah. Maybe it was probably some like really horrible like last minute, like construction paper sort of situation.
Yeah, probably. Anyway. So this item, the Rattle of the Trickster God,
mm-hmm.
it's obviously baby themed,
uh-huh.
You know, so good on that. it's just kind of goofy.
Yeah.
You know?
I do like the idea of it's a trickster god when it was a baby that was like a, mm-hmm. it was just an artifact it had or something. So yeah. Like it would just play tricks on people.
That is weird to think about, like, what gods were like when they were babies. I know a lot of gods were not babies, but
right. It depends on the pantheon and the setting and everything like that.
Here's an idea.
Uh-huh.
You're in a campaign where some sort of like super powerful magical something has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of the gods were turned into babies.
Oh, that's cool. That's interesting. Yeah.
Call it Faerun babies.
Faerun babies.
Yes. then you would be constantly dealing with like, oh crap, now everything's upside down.
Right.
Now everything's made of chocolate. You know.
Right, yeah. They're just like two giant hands come down and like grab some people and like make them kiss.
Start bashing them against each other, yeah. Yeah, I think that would be a horrifying yet interesting idea for a campaign.
Right.
That baby clothes one, I don't know how to adjudicate that because that's terrifying, but...
That reminds me of something... Oh, they're in Mystery Men. There's the gun that, like...
Yeah?
Because the guy that makes like all the, like, the non-lethal stuff.
Right,
he makes a gun that shrinks things' clothing.
Yes.
And that's, I think they, like, aim it at some, like, women or something, and they're like... And
one of the guys is like, my pants are shrinking.
Right.
anyway. Oh, that's a great movie. I'll put that in the show notes. How that one gets adjudicated is going to depend on who's running it, really. Mm. But other than that, these are pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, and I love how they are all baby themed.
Right.
You make something invisible. So like you're playing peekaboo.
Right.
Yeah. You make something laugh.
Yeah.
You make something terrified.
Right. Make something laugh. Make something
and
cry.
And then you conjure up a bunch of stuffed animals. I love that touch, Jeff. The stuffed animals.
Or at the very least, if you attack them, they don't bleed. They some stuffing comes out.
Exactly. Something. Rick Riordan's Heroes of Olympus series, the sequel series to Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
Mm-hmm.
There is a character who is he's a Roman seer. Mm-hmm. So like in Rome, they would normally cut open an animal, pull out their entrails and then tell the future based on something to do with their entrails.
Right.
But it's in like modern times and it's all kind of goofy and kid oriented. So instead he cuts open stuffed animals.
Uh-huh.
So he's always described as having like, he's always got stuffed animals with him and he just cuts them open and pulls out their stuffing
and tells the future.
Exactly.
With it. That's pretty funny actually.
Yeah. So Rattle of the Trickster God by Prozno. Thank you, Prozno. Congratulations once again.
Yeah. Congrats.
If anybody would like to submit magic items for us to discuss, Jeff, how would they do so? Or not just magic items, but also questions for us to discuss or stories for the funeral pyre.
Yeah.
How would they get those to us?
And they can send us an email at innerpartyconflict@gmail.com.
Yes. So before we get to questions, we have a giveaway to give away today.
Uh-huh.
Today, as always, we're giving away a copy of Goblin Stone's Chapel on the Cliffs.
Ooh.
So, Jeff, can you tell me who our winner is today?
Our winner today is Christopher H.
Whoa, 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 winner.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Yes. Congratulations, Christopher H. He's actually a patron of ours.
Yeah.
So, Christopher, if you like this adventure, or if you don't like this adventure, be sure to let Goblinstone know. And if you haven't gotten this within a day or two, let me know. And I usually get a copy of the confirmation. I can send that to you. Or if they're just running a little bit late, I can try to get in touch with them. I've had, not to throw shade on them or anything, but I've had a couple times recently where they were a few days late.
Yeah.
So if you don't get it immediately, don't necessarily freak out. But if it's not there after a couple days, I'll get in contact with them.
If it's not there in a week, panic.
I guess. Yes. So yeah, hopefully you enjoy that adventure. And Jeff, if anybody wanted to enter this drawing to win this adventure, how would they enter that?
They can send us an email at innerpartyconflict@gmail.com with Chapel on the Cliffs in the subject line.
Yes. Now we have a Patreon. So if anybody would like to contribute to the show, if you'd like hearing us talk about tabletop games and you want to help us do that, you can go to patreon.com/interpartyconflict. You can donate a little bit at a time, a little bit more at a time, $1, $5, $10, or anything in between, or anything more, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we'll give you rewards in return. We've got bonus episodes. We've got outtakes. We've got fantasy fiction from me. We're going to be doing, the day this episode comes out, we'll be doing a Roll20 game run by myself with our patrons. So I'm really excited for that.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you want to contribute to the show and help make the show better, patreon.com/interpartyconflict. Also, be sure to check out Crit Academy. It's a great, great podcast. Justin, Ian, and Brandon, although I think Brandon's been out the last few episodes, they create new and reusable content for players and DMs alike. They come up with a character concept, a encounter concept, a monster variant, a player tip, a DM tip, and a magic item every episode, as well as whatever their normal topic is.
Mm.
So they're a great podcast. You guys should go check them out, critacademy.com. Also, D&D Character Lab is another great podcast. So check them out. They, Garen and Dan, they make characters and then debate whose character is better.
You should keep that in.
I probably should. So they're a great podcast. You should check them out, D&D Character Lab.
And if you want to join us over at FriendQuest on YouTube, Griff and I are still playing Hollow Knight and Little Nightmares, which I'm pretty excited to keep going with that one because that one's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I haven't actually watched any of the Little Nightmares yet, but I've watched the Hollow Knight. Such a great game.
Yeah, it's a fun game. I like it. But yeah, come and check us out if you're interested.
Yeah, just go to YouTube, type in Friend Quest, Little Nightmares, or...
I think at this point, I think if you typed in Friend Quest, you might be able to find it as long as you're looking through channels and not videos, but...
Sure.
But, whatever.
Yeah, I'm really excited you guys are getting some more videos out for that.
Yeah.
All right, you want to get into some questions?
Sure. Our first question comes from Damien through email, and they ask, what are your thoughts on dreams in D&D?
Yes. So this was Damien from Adventures in Aurelia, if you guys are not familiar with that. If you guys are not familiar with that, it is an actual play podcast where Damien and his buds, they go through a campaign that he's running, and it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So check them out, Adventures in Aurelia. I want to say adventuresinaurelia.com. If not, I'll edit in something correct.
.com.net.
.biz.
.biz, yeah.
There's any time you just put .biz on the end of a web address, it immediately loses all credibility. And when Damien asked this question, there was a little bit more to the question. I always try to condense them into, so you're not reading like a whole paragraph.
Sure.
But, dreams in D&D, not just like it could be that the players are having dreams. It could be the players are having dreams that are prophetic. Could be that there's a session where, it was all a dream at the end of the session.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know if he said this, but an idea I had was that it could be that the players go into a dream knowingly in order to interact with the dream world.
Is there like a dream plane? Isn't there?
In the third edition Manual of the Planes, yes, there was a plane of dreams.
Okay.
It was in like the little section in the back, if I recall.
Hmm.
So, so just kind of dreams all, there's a whole lot we can cover with
right,
this.
Sure.
I guess first let's say prophetic dreams. What are your thoughts on those?
So like maybe like a DM using dreams to, send a message to the players or something. Yeah. Like to basically explain a thing to the players without having the players to like actively go and do a thing.
Sure.
I think that's a really good tool.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be, overused, I guess.
Absolutely. I've got thoughts on that, but go on.
I guess you could like if it's a theme of the adventure campaign, like, use it to keep things going. Mm-hmm. But like I wouldn't say don't use it all the time. Just don't use it for everything.
Sure.
Like, you know, if it makes sense for what you're doing, like if they're dealing with some demon or something or other that like goes into their dreams and that's how they're tracking him or something. Mm-hmm. Do like a Harry Potter thing where, Harry Potter's like seeing visions in his dreams of Voldemort.
Spoilers.
Oh,
you said his name. You're not supposed to say his name.
Josh. Oh, shoot.
Don't say Harry Potter.
Oh, you know, so that could be a cool way to like sort of keep the players in the right direction or something.
Sure.
You know, there might be a time when like, you know, players lose their lead on like the big baddie or something. So mm-hmm. you can kind of give them a little push.
Yeah.
But like, don't use it to push them in every, like, don't use it to try and railroad them.
Sure.
Because if you do that too much, they're going to be like, no, we're going to always do the opposite, you know, of what the dream is. It's like, well, we know he wants us to do this because my character had a dream about it.
Yeah.
So you don't want to you don't want to use it for everything.
Sure. My only issue really with dreams is the overuse of them.
Yeah.
My issues are more with dreams just in fiction, not necessarily in a game. And I understand that like role-playing game kind of operates by completely different rules than like a book. But like I'll say one thing that I kind of hate is when I'm reading a book and a character has a dream because I know that dream is going to be relevant.
Yeah.
I feel like in the real world, if a person has a dream, if someone came to you, Jeff, and said, I had a dream that you're going to get in a car accident, don't go to work. You're still going to drive to work, right?
Yeah, I'm still going to drive to work. Like, yeah, like I don't know how far I want to go into this, but like it, like things like, yeah, things like dream, like dream books or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, again, I don't know how far I want to go into this because it might upset people, but like if you're looking into horoscopes and things like that, like I feel like those are things that you shouldn't, you know, look too deep into.
Typical Taurus. Are you a Taurus?
No.
What are you?
I'm a Gemini.
I mean, oh, of course. That's what a Gemini would say.
Yeah. Although I'm a Gemini on the cusp of Taurus.
See, that's how I knew.
Because I know of horoscopes and stuff because it's a fun and interesting thing. And like there are like, you know, there are some things that are like, oh, yeah, I guess that is kind of me. But the idea is like.
They're so vague they can apply to anybody.
They're vague and then. If somebody's really into horoscopes, mm-hmm. they're going to be more likely to do the things that their zodiac is known for.
Sure.
Because I'm a Gemini, and if I was really into zodiacs, I would be like, well, Geminis have split personalities, so I would attribute a lot of things to my split personality.
Sure, sure.
And I'd be more likely to like do those things because I don't want to. Like, yeah, I know plenty of people who are really into horoscopes and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And it's not inherently a bad thing.
Sure, sure. It can be useful for you to be introspective and look at what yeah. you do value.
Sure.
So, yeah. So I mean, it's kind of a tangent, but sure,
yeah.
My issue with dreams is that in the real world, 99.9% of your dreams, you're just going to dismiss immediately because they're dreams
yeah.
and they're not supposed to make any sense. Even if they make sense, they're not real and you yeah. know they're not real. So when a character in a book has a dream, I, the reader, immediately know, oh, this is a prophecy or something.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would the writer be, you know, right. why or whatever. It's, this is in some way going to yeah. be significant.
It's either a prophecy or it's a misdirect.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can see dreams in a similar fashion being an easy crutch for a DM to get knowledge to a player that the character wouldn't necessarily have.
Mm.
And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying you should never do this by any means. I always feel like, especially a D&D game kind of should be held to different standards than a book as far as like writing is concerned. I'm never really expecting like a Pulitzer Prize winning novel when I play D&D mm. because the story and the like minutiae of the writing is such a small component of the total experience. So I'm not saying that this is a make or break thing in a game, but if you use them a lot, I would just recommend you also throw in some dreams that have nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
Some dreams that do not prophesy anything.
Yeah. Do not foresee anything.
That do not foresee anything. Right. And are just there kind of just to throw the players off. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I would love if there was an adventure where the players, one of the players had a dream where, like, I don't know, somebody had been kidnapped and they go home. That person's not there. So they go off in search of the person that kidnapped them in their dream. And then they find out, oh no, they were just at the store. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Why are you following a dream? It's a dream, dude. I would love something like that because I feel like it's such a common trope to have a dream be, you know, just like, oh, that's how you know what the next plot hook is. Mm-hmm. That being said, you know, I think dreams can be done really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I do really, I mean, even if you, here's another recommendation, try and use not necessarily just to throw the players off. You could throw in dreams that aren't meant to foresee anything in the campaign, but are meant to get the player thinking about their character's motivations.
Mm.
Maybe the character did something, like let's say they're lawful good and they did something, they committed a crime or something like that.
Mm.
You can narrate a dream for the player where the character is conflicted about what they've done. And then you can see how the player reacts to that. If the character justifies what they did, if they think that they were justified in doing and committing that crime.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. You learn something new about how that character is playing, how that player is playing that character. Or maybe you'll have kind of the opposite effect. That player will begin regretting committing that crime. And then you can provide an opportunity for that player to atone for the crime they committed.
Sure.
It can lead to a lot of role-playing opportunities. It's a bit lazy to use it just for exposition or just for like prophecy or whatever. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Mm. You know, I'm sure I've done that before. I'm not saying that anyone is a bad DM for that.
Right. Yeah.
Just try and come up with more interesting ways than just being like, oh, you have a dream and you can see the bad guy. Cause like, I imagine a lot of DMs maybe use dreams as cutscenes.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, they want the players to know what is going on in the bad guy's lair without the players, without the characters actually being there. So the DM might want to get across this information to the players. So they figure, hey, I'll just narrate it as a dream. That way the players can treat it, or that the characters can treat it like, if the characters even are aware of it, they can treat it like, oh, it was just a dream and it's nothing, but the players will know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could work. You know, it's obviously just a plot device. I would recommend just saying, hey guys, here's a cutscene.
Sure.
Rather than framing it as a dream.
Yeah, you know? But just be like, meanwhile, you know.
There you go. I do think more DMs should use cutscenes in their games. I think that there are some times where the story can be fleshed out by seeing the villain's point of view, and that's really hard to do in a game where generally in D&D it's so like player-centric, it's so like player character point of view and so on. So you could use dreams as a way to establish like a cutscene, or you could just do a cutscene.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Could just go for it.
What are your thoughts on at the end of an adventure or at the end of a battle or whatever, it was all a dream.
Like in, you know, like in like movies and TV and stuff, like that's sort of, it's sort of a weird, it's kind of like a cop out sort of thing.
It can be.
Like,
yeah.
I guess there's times when it could work, but in most cases, I feel like it is just a like all that adventure you went on was for nothing for the most part. Like, I don't know. It's just a way for them to like go back, like, okay, everything goes back to normal.
Yeah.
We don't have to do any writing for that. It's just a dream. But it can be an interesting twist.
Sure.
If done well.
Yeah. I know a lot of people complain about it was all a dream stuff because they feel like, oh, well then what was the point?
Well, I mean, like you still learn something from
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And I mean, if I'm watching an episode of a TV show and there isn't direct continuity from that episode to the following episode, I don't feel like that episode is wasted. There's plenty of shows that I've watched where there isn't really continuity and I still enjoy watching. I'm still enjoying the ride.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What ifs are always not always. What ifs can be very fun.
They can be very fun. The very first anthology of interest in Futurama.
Oh,
yeah. It's like one of my favorite episodes of television ever. It is so good.
Uh-huh.
They kind of overused those as the show went on, but it can be fun to see what these characters would be like in a situation where there aren't necessarily the same stakes that there usually are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess there's the question of do the characters know it's all a dream? Probably not. If you're springing it was all a dream on them,
yeah,
they probably don't know it's a dream. I guess we'll get to in a minute what what it is like if they do explicitly know they're in a dream.
Sure.
It can feel like a cop-out. It can feel like a deus ex machina, and sometimes it is. But I think that if as the DM you are intending for it to be a dream in the end, I think you have a big responsibility to hint at that.
Yeah, drop clues. Like,
yes,
maybe at a certain point towards the end, the players do realize it, or like somebody's got like, wait a minute, is this all a dream sort of thing? And they maybe start doing things that someone who knows they're in a dream would do.
Right.
Like, I don't know if you've ever, you know, like, well, if you've ever had those moments when you're dreaming and you realize you're in a dream and, you know, you can like kind of control it in a way.
Typically, it's so cool. It doesn't happen often, but it's right. So cool.
Typically when that happens, like when you become, it's called lucid dreaming. Yeah. When you become lucid in a dream, like a lot of times you wake yourself up or something like that.
Yeah, because you're exerting too much effort.
Yeah. And like there was a time in my life where like my sleep schedule was really crazy and I would spend a lot of time sleeping in like.
You're describing my entire life. Jeff.
Oh, sure. But no, I would do some lucid dreaming by like basically going in and out of sleeping just to kind of keep in that like in that state of like, cause like you only really remember the dream like right before you wake up or whatever. Sure, so it's like, I'm kind of like going in and out of that and dreaming and stuff. So like it would be kind of cool that like towards the end, like one of the like players kind of gets wind of like this. And it's like, I cast fly and am I like, or it's like the fighter. And he's like, I cast fly.
That would be really cool
or something like that. And then the DM goes like, you don't know fly. It's like, yes, you're right. I don't, but I still cast fly or something. I don't know. It's like,
yeah, that would take a lot of chutzpah from the player.
Sure.
to do that. But if they, cause I could imagine the player thinking like picking up on what they thought were quote unquote clues.
Sure.
But then the DM is like, what are you talking about? You can't do any of that. that would be kind of awkward, but
well, you could do the whole like I pinch myself thing.
Or, sure,
you know,
sure.
I don't know.
The film Reroll is a great podcast. I recommend everybody go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
They make movies into role playing games. Mm. They did The Wizard of Oz, and it went way far. It went off the rails real fast, real hard, and continued going. But there's a point. I mean, I guess spoilers for if anybody has not seen the movie The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, geez.
The main character.
It's public domain.
There you go. The main character is dreaming. I mean, you know, in the end, it turns out to be a dream. And when they were doing the film Reroll, when they were doing the Wizard of Oz, the player that was playing Dorothy at certain points got to make a check to see if she began to realize that it was a dream. And as she began to realize it, she started getting more and more power. And like more control over the world.
Huh, yeah.
And anyway, that would be such a crazy thing if you're going through an adventure. There have been weird things happening, but you've just treated it like a normal adventure. And then at one point, it just like clicks in the player's brain. And then they say to the DM, I cast fly on myself. And then all the other players are like, you're the fighter. What are you talking about? And they look straight at the DM, I cast fly on myself. And the DM's like, you start to fly. That would be so cool.
Yeah. Or, you know, like it ends up, it's all a dream, but like you're playing D&D, but it turns out like you're just the fever dream of some guy in a coma or something in the modern day.
Yeah.
You know, like just you hear a beeping or, you know, you down the hall.
Oh, that's
some lady.
It's horrifying.
Some lady brings in a tray with some transparent. Is that a jelly? Is that a
British people call it a jelly?
No, no.
Or what? Oh, an ooh, like a gelatinous cube.
Like, yeah, is that a gelatinous cube? smells like limes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean that'd be existentially terrifying. There was I went to the Tennessee Renaissance Festival a bunch of years ago. We were watching the show, and it was these two pirates, and they were doing this, you know, little routine. And at one point, one of them, they find a little chest, and he's like about to open it up, and he's like, "This chest is supposed to carry the secrets to all reality." And he opens it up, and he's like, "Oh my goodness, I'm an actor. I'm on a stage, and everyone around me smells." And it was hilarious. If you were to use a dream as a way to sort of let a character break the fourth wall, as it were,
yeah,
that would be a fun way to play. That would be a fun thing to happen in D&D. There is a lot of potential for using dreams in D&D if the DM intends for it to be a dream in the end.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool things you can do with that. Batman the Animated Series. Did you ever used to watch it?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I know what you're going to talk about, but go on.
There's an episode, Batman, you know, he's going along. He's like following the Mad Hatter or something. Okay. Whatever Batman does. Something like falls and hits him on the head. He wakes up and he's at home. You know, he's at home. He's in his bed. Oh, I guess that must have been a dream. He's talking to Alfred, his butler. You know, he's going about his business. At one point, he brings him the newspaper. He looks at the newspaper, and it's all just a big jumble of letters. Like, none of it makes any sense.
Yeah.
He's like, well, that's really weird. Oh, well. He goes to work. You know, everything's going pretty well. And then at one point, he hears that there's, like, a crime or something, and he goes to, I don't remember exactly what he did. He goes to, like, put on his uniform, his Batman outfit, and realizes he doesn't have it. So then he calls Alfred, and he's like, Alfred, you know, where's my Batman uniform? And Alfred's like, what are you talking about? What's Batman? And then he finds out that, like, Batman doesn't exist. There is no Batman. He's just Bruce Wayne, Playboy millionaire. And then every time he tries to read something, it's just like a big jumble. He can't read anything. It's all just jumbles of letters. Or, like, it'll start out as, like, a sentence, but then it'll just, the letters will get bigger and smaller and crazy. And long story short, it turns out that he is in some sort of a mental simulation created by the Mad Hatter to try and trap him in a dream in a world where there is no Batman or something like that.
Yeah.
But this is how, a lot of people learned this fact from this episode that supposedly you can't read while you're in a dream.
It is one of those things where what it is, like you can see a word and you can maybe make out what it says. But if you try to look back at that, like, if you look back at that word or whatever, like, it's not going to be the same.
Okay.
I actually recently had a dream where that sort of thing happened, where I was reading a thing and, like, as I was reading it, it was changing into something completely different. And that's like,
weird.
What am I reading? Like, what is this? Like, it was very, it's very weird. Like, it was like reading off a list. There was, like, two or three, like, things. And, like, by the time I got to the second thing, the first thing had changed, and, like, it was just like I didn't remember what I was saying or reading, and where am I? Like, it was, you know, sometimes when you're dreaming and, like, it'll, like, kind of turn into a different dream.
Oh yeah.
That same night, I know talking about dreams.
No, that's what this episode is about. There will be something in the episode's title about dreams. So if anybody doesn't want to listen to dreams, don't listen to this episode.
Sure. Yeah, but it was like I had referenced the first half of the dream in the second half of the dream. And I don't think I've ever done that before.
Interesting.
Or like it changed into something like, because like in the first half of the dream, I was a different person. Mm-hmm. I was like some guy who was like, who was gonna go on a date with some person, and then like I became myself, and my fiance was there, but then like the person that I was going on in the date with from the first half of the dream,
like, showed up or something,
called me.
Oh yeah.
And like I talked to them as if I was the person from before, but then I turned to everybody else in the room and was like, oh, they think I'm this other person. Like, and they were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It was very weird, but like, yeah, like it just like, it, you know, I had that moment where it became a different dream, but then like I kind of had like a callback to the first half, and I'm like, I can't remember that ever happening before. It's just sort of weird. Usually it just kind of transitions, and it's like, oh, I'm dreaming about this now.
Now I'm a pirate.
Now I'm a pirate.
This question was actually, Damien submitted this, if I recall, directly in response to us talking about dreams on a previous episode and how nobody ever wants to hear someone's dreams.
Right.
So if you can put weird little happenings like that into your D&D game, such as somebody tries to read something and then it changes like while they're reading it. Or this would be a bit harder to do, but if you can just like slyly change some details about the character, like let's say a character wields a sword, and then if you're able to tell the player, so you go to swing your club, I feel like most players would be like, no, I'm wielding a sword. If you can get across to that player, you're not wielding a sword anymore, you're wielding a club, without making a big deal out of it, I think that would be a really interesting way to try to get across these like subtle little clues that something's not right. Maybe the bad guy's starting to run away. The player goes to run after them, and they're just moving super slow or something.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I feel like in a game like D&D with magic and there's like illusions and stuff like that, it can be kind of tricky to not – to make it – it'd be tricky to pass it off as something like – it'd be hard for the player to like really try to pick up on like the hints that it's a dream.
Sure.
In a world where there's illusions.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and
true.
Charm, you know, it's like, uh-oh, like I will save to disbelieve or whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
Or I think now it's you use an action to investigate.
Yeah.
So like, and maybe you could have some mechanic where like, it's just a like insanely high DC that they would never, you know, reach at least at their level. Like they could hit, they could, if they rolled just right, you know, and their investigation check, they could figure out that it might be a dream or something.
Sure.
I don't know. But yeah, I feel like it could be tricky not to just have the player think, oh, there's a spellcaster around here using illusion.
Yeah.
You know.
So something like this would probably be hard to do well, but if you can do it well, oh man, I would love to be a part of that game. But be aware, it would probably only work once. You probably right. would not be able to make a regular thing out of
sure.
this type of adventure. So then let's say we're doing an adventure where the players go into a dream. Mm-hmm. So like they knowingly are entering the dream plane or yeah. whatever.
They're doing like an Inception or something.
Yes. And which is one thing I want to say about that. So my issue with Inception, I think it's a great movie,
mm-hmm.
is just that it has so many like concrete rules about how dreams work. And I mean, dreams I have never seem to follow any kind of rules. Sometimes time moves fast. Sometimes time moves slow.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, I can manipulate stuff. Sometimes I can't. I just feel like part of what makes dreams is that they're always different and you never have any real way to know what's different and what isn't. I don't know.
Yeah. And I feel like it's, you know, like, you know, dreams in movies are very rarely like, like when they're like, when the character's in a dream, because sure. it's usually a misdirect for the audience.
Right.
And the audience doesn't know that the character's dreaming in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that movie, like there, you know, are several parts where it's like, wait, are they still in a dream? Are they not in a dream?
Yeah, yeah.
So like, if you're asleep and dreaming, like, I feel like it's a different perception. Like, it's not like I don't know I'm dreaming. It's just that I'm not thinking about whether or not I'm dreaming.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't. That seems weird. But like, anytime I'm out of a dream, I know what was a dream and what wasn't.
Sure.
Like there are moments like right when you wake up where mm-hmm. you're still kind of like half asleep, half dreaming, where you're like, I gotta go. I'm late for this thing.
Right. Right.
Shoot. Wait. Oh, you know, it's Sunday. Oh, I don't have to be anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But you know, you'll in most cases completely forget the dream. Like mm-hmm. even like dreams that had a huge impact on you when you first woke up.
Right.
By the time I'm done brushing my teeth in the morning, I
don't even remember.
I can't remember, you know?
Yeah. So I guess, I don't know. I guess my complaint about Inception is kind of misplaced in this, because I would actually say, if you are going to have the players go into a dream world, you probably should establish some rules, because otherwise it's going to seem like you're just making the whole thing up as you go along.
Sure.
And that's not really so fun in a game. So I guess if you are going to have your players go through a dream world, come up with the rules ahead of time about how this is going to function, how the players can interact with what's around them, mm-hmm. how they can't. So like what the limit is on what they can and can't do,
uh-huh.
what mechanic they're going to use to do that. So like if they need to make a charisma check or a wisdom check or something.
As an idea, everyone can cast Wish at will.
Oh, yeah.
However, there is like a check involved. It's like you're trying to like use your willpower or something to like actually make it. So like, it's like, I wish for, you know, like I wish I could fly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I was like, okay, you cast your, okay. So you're going to try, you're basically using a wish spell to cast Wish.
Yeah.
Roll this dice. If you roll it low, it's like, okay, you can fly, but only at like 5 foot, you know, speed, okay. You know, 'cause like there are times when I've been in a dream and I know I'm dreaming. I'm like, I'm going to fly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just barely get off the ground, and I move so slow, and I'm like, this isn't flying. And then I wake up or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're like, yeah, you can do anything you want. It's just, you're going to have to concentrate really, really hard on it. make it worth anything.
I almost feel like what it should be is that you can cast any spell, mm-hmm. but the higher level the spell, the higher the check that you have to make. And then if you fail the check, well, you could even make all the checks really, really high. But if you fail it, depending on by how much you failed it, then something different happens. Like maybe if you rolled high enough, you could fly, just fly, like the fly spell. But if you didn't roll high enough, you fly, but you're real slow or something. Or let's say you want to, I want there to be a table here with a bunch of food on it. So I don't know, a hero's feast or something like that. But then if you roll high enough, a bunch of food appears. If you don't roll high enough, then you make a table, but like there's, I don't know, a TV sitting on it or something. Your character doesn't even know what a TV is.
Right. Or it's just like a pile of mush.
Sure.
You know, it's like you know that there's, you wanted food there, but like you couldn't quite form it. And it was just like, it just kind of came like a big blob on the table and it's very unappetizing or something.
Right. I was thinking not even food would appear, just like something, you know, like another table appears on top of the table.
I don't know. A gelatinous cube.
Sure. So
with little like limes in it,
or
like,
there you go. Yeah. Little bits of fruit,
floating in it. You have to fight it.
Yes. So try to establish rules about what you're going to do, man. I'm feeling even more stupid about that Inception, right? Cause now I'm all like, yeah, rules. So establish some rules, make sure the players know how it's going to work and so on. When Jay was running his Eberron campaign, I've mentioned this before. I think when last time I mentioned it, you actually didn't remember this, or you didn't remember very well. There was a point where your character, who was a Warforged, got infected by some sort of like a magical construct thing.
Right. And you had to like,
I had to use a VR helmet and go inside your character's consciousness. Yeah.
Like I remember you mentioning this before, but I can't for the life of me remember this actually happening.
Yeah. And then while we were in there, you could make charisma checks to interact, to affect the environment. And I could make use magic device checks because I was proficient in use magic device.
I might have made the same joke last time we talked about it, but maybe I don't remember it because I am a Warforged and I was, you know, you had to like go into my brain and I can't remember what happened.
Oh, did I say in Jay's Eberron campaign? I meant before we started playing that day at Jay's house.
Oh, yeah, we had a VR headset, you know, like
exactly,
like,
yeah.
Like we did in the like early the early
2006 or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of potential with stuff like this. I think it could be really, really fun. But you know, try to use dreams sparingly, and when you do use them, you know, try to be creative with it. Don't just have it be like, here's some exposition. Here's, it was all a dream, so I don't have to worry about the repercussions of killing off all your characters, you know?
Right, yeah.
Try to plan as much as you can ahead of time and just make it more engaging for the players.
Mm-hmm.
So we're done with our regular questions for today, just that one today. However, we're going to move on to the social media discussion questions.
Mm-hmm.
Last week's discussion question was, if you could have any fantasy creature or monster as a pet, what would you wish to have and why? And then I also gave the disclaimer that having it as a pet does not guarantee that you would be safe from it or that it would be friendly to you. And I had someone on Reddit actually did ask about that. Like, isn't that kind of the whole point of having a pet? And my response was, that's the hope. You do hope that your pets won't hurt you or will love you. But think of like in Harry Potter. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that name. In J.K. Rowling's young adult fantasy series, Hagrid had a pet dragon in the first book.
Right.
That they ended up having to get rid of because it's a dragon.
Yeah.
Even if you do your best job training it, it's a dragon. It could bite you and poison you. It could breathe fire on you and kill you. It is still a very deadly creature.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, think of it as like you raise it, you got it when it was born. So it is going to have some sort of like imprinting on you.
Sure.
So like it's more likely to be friendly to you in some way. But but if it's like a dragon, it's still a dragon.
Yeah.
You know, it's still going to. Although in the case of D&D, dragons are very intelligent and probably be like, I'm not your pet.
Well, and that's the next thing. A lot of the potential answers for this question involve intelligent, sentient creatures.
I mean, you know, but was it specific to D&D? I can't remember.
No, just any fantasy creature.
Sure. I mean, so like it could just be a dragon that's not. I mean, like there are some fictions where the dragons aren't like super intelligent. Like they're intelligent, but they're not. They're like intelligent like a dolphin, not intelligent like a human.
Right. So I was just trying to say that the Although you might hope that it will be your friend.
Oh, sorry to any dolphins listening. you're also very, you're very smart. It's just, it's a different type of brain. Sorry.
So long and thanks for all the fish. So you might hope that it is your friend, but if it is a sentient creature, it might feel like it is a slave if you treat it like a slave.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I like to imagine that the pets that I've had, you know, think of me as their friend, but if they wanted to leave and they could communicate that to me, would I let them go? Maybe. I don't know, depending on what it is. So anyway, so that's just the backdrop for these responses. We actually got a lot of responses.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good one that people have give some good thought to.
Sure. And actually, a lot of these are the same answers, too. So on Facebook, Sean M. said, owlbear. They kind of have that My Neighbor Totoro thing about them.
Okay, yeah, so, big snuggly owlbear.
Yeah, that's another one that it's like, they're adorable. They're also deadly creatures.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. We'll worry about that when we get to it.
I think you could tame an owl bear, like make it do tricks and stuff.
Yeah. Justin from Crit Academy says pseudo dragon.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to bleep this out. Cause yeah. I don't know if that's how he intended the inflection on that, but actually a lot of people said pseudo dragon. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Pseudo dragon's
it's a good pet.
Yeah, it's one of the familiars a warlock can get.
Sure.
It's what, Pack to the Chain or something like that?
I think so, yeah. Before I had the idea of Ichi becoming a deity, I had him, I had decided in my headcanon that he had his sword. Was able to give his sword a like mobile form so that instead of just being because it was intelligent, instead of just being a sword, he could have it turn into a pseudo dragon.
Cool.
Because I thought pseudo dragon, you know, it's a fun little pet.
Yeah.
You know. David, our friend Dave, said, can I choose fantasy versions of real creatures? Like, could I pick a bear that will only grow to the size of a shih tzu? If so, I pick that. Which, yeah, okay.
Right.
I'll allow that.
Wasn't there that one adventure where there was basically a really like a bear that got shrunken down? A
tiny little bear, yeah, in the adventure I did at the library, yeah. And then we had that question about what do you do if you're jealous that you didn't get the tiny bear?
Sure.
He said if not a tiny bear, then a blink dog.
Oh yeah,
always been one of his favorites. A few people said blink dog also.
Yeah, blink dog's a good one actually.
Yeah, but then he said unless I can pick dragon, then totally dragon. Cancel all other answers. The correct answer is dragon. I mean, dragon is a good answer, but like there's some downsides to that. Anyway.
Yeah, I think Blink Dog's a solid one because it's like it's a dog. They're slightly more intelligent than
they're dogs. They're intelligent and they're good aligned, so like it's pretty safe to assume, like they would probably be one of the easier ones to make a pet or companion. Yeah.
And what is it? Don't they like they have Dimension Door or do they have Blink?
Oh, okay. In 3.5 it was they could use Blink like whenever.
Uh-huh.
And then they could use Dimension Door once per round as a free action. So both.
Whoa.
Both was the answer.
Free action. So yeah, like if they could like teleport you as well, like you're like go for a walk.
Oh, that would be so cool.
You go for a walk and you're just kind of like teleporting like short distances down the road.
Well, but then he's not getting the exercise, you know.
Hey, you know, maybe that he has to flex a muscle every time he does it.
Here's what it is. There's that one house with the dog that always barks at him.
You would teleport past it.
Teleport past him. And of course, in my mind, I'm picturing my dog. And I don't know why, because I hate my dog.
Your dog would teleport into the house with the dog.
He would.
And like just try to have...
Dude, okay, here's something that you probably didn't remember as I'm looking at this 3.5 SRD on the screen.
Uh-huh.
Blink dogs have their own language.
Oh, you're right, they do.
A mixture of barks, yaps, whines, and growls that can transmit complex information. I want a blink dog.
Yeah.
That's my answer, everybody.
Blink dog's pretty good, actually. They like, yeah.
I think I had said, we didn't even say what our answers were. I think my answer was... Displacer Beast, just because I think Displacer Beasts, they look so cool.
Yeah, so maybe like a house cat sized Displacer Beast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it eventually grew to be full size, that would be fine. But like a little kitten Displacer Beast.
Yeah.
I'm picturing its tentacles as just being like cat tails, like a little soft little thing that rubs on your face.
Or knocks the stuff off of counters.
Of course.
you'll think it's over there, but it's actually over here knocking your crap off of the table.
Exactly. Something gets knocked off the table. Wait a minute. Was that you, Displacer Beast? And the Displacer Beast is like, no, I'm over here.
Like it puts its tentacles up like in the, like, oh, it wasn't me.
A shrug.
A little shrug with tentacles.
Yes.
I think I can't remember what I originally said, but my final answer was the Zaratan, which is the giant... as the colossal island turtle.
I'm pretty sure that is what you said because I think you were gaming the system. But anyway,
because I'll just build a home on top of it. And
that's
just
true.
Chill out.
So next up, Jom, our patron Jom, said water elemental or ice Muffet.
Okay.
I like both of those. I like the idea of having a pet that can change its, like, it is not bound to a physical form.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Or one that can chill your drink.
Chill your drink, exactly. I just have the idea, a pet gelatinous cube. That would be adorable and terrifying.
I think, yeah. like a pet bone ooze.
Oh my goodness,
that's
yeah.
That's terrifying.
David E. said, well, can it be a little less of a pet and more of a cohabitation? Tinker gnomes. I always have things to fix or build. That or a small gelatinous cube to keep the house cleaned up.
There you go.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I said fantasy creature, not necessarily like monster.
Yeah.
If you wanted to say gnome, sure. But then again, you're running into like, well, is it a pet?
It's not.
That's up to you to decide. There's no right or wrong answer.
I guess we could say this like pet aunt slash pal. I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, I prefer the question as pet.
Yeah.
But you think of it however
right,
you
yeah.
want. Next up, Chris, our good friend Chris.
Dang.
Said pseudo dragon.
Yeah.
They're smart, love pranks, and have sleep poison. I'm sure me and my pet would get into tons of trouble. Also, I didn't even think of the sleep poison. Let's say you suffer from insomnia.
Oh yeah.
Just come here, give me a bite. or give me a smooch. I don't know. Maybe they can give you their poison.
Oh, a little pseudo dragon kisses.
Yes.
help you go to sleep.
Right.
Aw.
Nathan H says a gray render.
Ugh.
Huge and terrifying, but they have adorable personalities. I do remember them having interesting personalities, but I can't remember much
yeah.
about them.
I
want to say they're very like motherly.
Maybe. I know what they, I can picture them because they're like visually they're one of my favorite monsters. I think they just look cool.
Yeah.
They're just these big, like, I don't know how to describe them.
Just like a big thing.
They're big gray render. Like they're great.
Yeah. And you got to wait for them to render. Adam B. said, personally, it would always be a species of drake or dragon. Right now, I'll say fairy dragon as they are generally nice and helpful.
Sure.
There
yeah.
you go. Narrow it down a little bit. Joe G. says, a flumph, hands down. I mean, why wouldn't you?
I can think
of at least one answer. So I'll bring up a little picture here for you, Jeff.
Yeah, what's a flumph? I feel like... Oh, yeah.
Flumphs are lawful good floating jellyfish
uh-huh.
that travel by farting.
It looks exactly like the
from Order of the Stick.
No, it looks like the flying spaghetti monster.
Oh, it does look like the flying spaghetti monster. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, he looks like the flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah, I mean, the flying around by farting thing is a pretty good reason not to have one as a pet.
I mean, it depends on what it's flatulent smells like.
I don't want to know, Jeff.
What if it like breathes in like polluted air and farts out clean air?
That's not clean air, Jeff. I'm sure there's plenty of room for debate for that, but hey, whatever. There's no wrong answer here. Next up on Reddit, we got just a few of these. Kryptonic 901 on Reddit. I think they're saying that this actually happened. They said, not really an if, but our pet is a baby owl bear. We've named her Dr. Hoot.
Dr. Hoot?
That's a pretty good name.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to be honest here.
So, yeah, probably like an adventure where they've tamed an owl bear. I feel like...
I think there's a published adventure that...
I think
that
you're right.
...makes that happen.
That, like, you definitely come across one and then it gives you, like, options to tame it. Because I feel like I remember doing that at some point.
Yeah.
Or trying to tame it or something.
Right, right. Werebear Esquire says, within the D&D world, probably a blink dog for the cool factor, plus it's similar to a real-life pet.
Right.
A pseudo-dragon, who doesn't want a tiny dragon, or a Pegasus, flying mount.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Pretty good. Nobody else so far has said a Pegasus.
Yeah.
More generally, I think it'd be cool to have a moorcat as a pet slash companion from Terry Brooks' Shannara series.
Hmm.
They're pony-sized cats that have chameleon-like camouflage properties. They're loyal and are fierce predators.
Huh.
Or, here's a great one, Shadow's dog Interceptor from Final Fantasy VI. It seems like a friendly and loyal companion, plus it will randomly take down enemies. That's a pretty good answer. Did you ever play Final Fantasy VI?
Six, no.
Oh my goodness, seriously?
I haven't done a lot of the earlier Final Fantasies.
Well, it's a good game. One of the characters is a ninja, and he just has this like invisible buff on him that sometimes he'll randomly block an attack, like this little dog will pop up in front of him, and then whenever that happens, the dog will counterattack by running across the screen and hitting the enemy. And it's just like, it's just a cool little bonus thing. It's not really, I mean, the character has a pet dog in the story, but it's just, this character just has this bonus in combat. It's kind of neat. So yeah, pretty good answers all around. Hoosier Trip on Reddit says, I'd like to have a Drake. Hoosier Trip was also the one that asked about the, you know, isn't the whole point of having a pet. And so anyway, but it's, in addition to that, they said they'd like to have a Drake. Thematically, it fits one of their PCs. Plus, I'd love to sick it on insert bad guy here.
Sure.
King J EXE says, I think having a pseudo dragon would be awesome. So another check for the pseudo dragon. Smart enough to do things for you, picking stuff up, etc. Dangerous enough that it could help defend you in a pinch, but small enough that little bites or scratches you might get wouldn't be too bad. Mm-hmm. I imagine it would be kind of like a cat, but with scales and wings.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess the downside would be that it could get up to any glass anywhere and knock it down. So.
Oh, yeah.
Like what you were saying with the displacer beast, it would just knock over your glass.
Right. Because a cat that could fly, you just wouldn't have shelves.
Yeah.
You would just never. Why bother?
Right. P-Story Pancakes says their first thought was a Niffler. If I recall,
oh yeah,
Nifflers are in the Harry Potter series, but yes. I don't know if they're from that.
I don't know if they're like Nifflers. Yeah, Nifflers are in the Harry Potter series. They're basically like little moles.
They like dig and find valuable stuff.
Treasure. Yeah, they love finding like treasure and stuff. So sure, like sure. You know, so a Niffler, having a pet Niffler is basically like having something that can like sniff out like loose change for you.
Sure, sure. And P-Story Pancake says that could get stressful though, but also useful. I guess if I put a little leash on it, that might work, and it would look adorable.
Right.
Which it would. Let's be honest.
Moles are like little rodents. They're almost like little rats.
Yeah, I love rats. Prosno said, I like the idea of an owl bear, but I think it would be like owning a large, more dangerous bear. I think a displacer beast or blink dog would be great and reasonable, but I think a quasit would be cool because of the shape changing and the little bit of magic they do. Also, they're kind of ugly, cute, and oh so tiny. Downside is the demon evil stuff, which is kind of a big downside, yeah. I guess. Lone Rev said, probably that living wish spell you talk about.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. I can get behind that. Be careful what you wish for, though.
Right.
You know. And then Sapphire Shaddix actually drew several pictures. You drew three pictures of potential pets.
These are adorable.
They are adorable. The three pets are a blink dog, a little owl bear, and a baby mimic.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, baby mimic. Because what?
I think that was in response to something that I said.
Oh right.
In the last episode.
Because we were talking about like the baby mimics could be like coins and treasures.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I actually got that from Hardy Dice Friends. They were talking about that, but they were saying like, the baby mimics could actually be like coins or little bits of treasure.
Yeah.
So I'll put this in the show notes, but if you want to, it's on the Reddit thread for the question. This picture is adorable.
Yeah.
The blink dog is chasing after a ball that I'm imagining just went through the portal.
Right. Yeah. He's like teleporting, chasing after a ball.
Yes.
That's cute.
Oh my goodness. I love these. I love all of these. So that was everybody on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And then on Twitter, we had just a few. DM Carlos said, I think I like a pseudo dragon. So again, another pseudo dragon response. Mm-hmm. JT, the GM, said, I normally DM, so all the monsters and creatures, townsfolk, and city rulers are mine, wahaha, but I would really like a unicorn. Seriously, the coolest magical ride out there.
He's got a gif of a unicorn, too.
Yes, yes. Good. And I recommend everybody Google Geral the Binicorn, which is a minor character from The Adventure Zone.
Okay.
I'll put something in the show notes on there. And then Noah Wizard said, two more. Noah Wizard said he wants the genie from Neverwinter Nights, from that Neverwinter Nights expansion. He doesn't grant you wishes, but once per rest, you can summon him and sell him all your vendor trash.
Oh, sure.
I don't imagine I have much vendor trash in the real world.
You never have to do like a garage sale.
That's true.
You just summon him and be like, here's a bunch of crap. Can you give me something for me for it?
Here's what I'm imagining. He buys all that trash from you, and then he has his own garage sale. But it's a plainer garage sale, sure. So everybody comes. And then the last one was from StoryCraft RPG, a rust monster. Drawback is telling guests to leave their metal at the door.
Actually, yeah, when you first brought out this question, like, rust monster did come to mind. I'm like, that might be kind of cool, but also terrible.
Yeah, in today's society, there's way too much damage they could cause.
Right, exactly. But I feel like you could use some interesting stuff, or like, you know, maybe it's a good way to recycle things. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Ooh. Oh. Otiug.
Oh yeah, yeah. They eat garbage.
They eat garbage. You just have like your own like a very like natural garbage disposal.
I could just take my pet dog out there and just toss him in.
Morph. Don't tell Lisa.
My dog has been especially frustrating the last few days.
Been so a bad boy.
I apologize. I don't actually hate him.
He's just a bad boy.
I don't hate him. I want him gone. So this week's social media discussion question was actually come up. My wife came up with this one.
Okay.
I was trying to come up with a question. I shouted at her from the other room, and this was the idea she gave.
Okay, great.
A dragon just added you as a friend on Facebook. What sort of social media posts would you expect from them?
Oh, man. It would just like all of your posts that have like treasure in them or something.
Okay. Okay. one that I thought of was the dragon would be constantly posting like pictures of adventurers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would take you a little while, but you'd realize that it was just posting its breakfast, its lunch, its right. dinner.
Yeah. It was like it's Instagramming its meals.
Yep.
But it's just adventurers like unawares, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, here's what I'm eating today. Click.
Right. So I don't have a ton of great answers for this at the moment, but I will see what I can come up with between now and next week.
So yeah. What would a dragon post on social media?
Yes. All right, well, I think that'll do it for our questions for today, but before we close out, I think that we should sit back, we should take a deep breath. echo. And we should toss another log onto the funeral pyre.
Crackle, crackle.
So today's funeral pyre story was submitted by Sure Start on Reddit. Force Cage, Cloud Kill, and our party's monk realized that not only was I a doppelganger, but all five of the characters I'd played in that campaign had been the same doppelganger, including the monk's boyhood friend who had gone with the monk to safeguard him as he went on a pilgrimage to join the party, who is a group mentioned in a prophecy.
Oh, man.
So.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's some pretty pretty deep stuff right there.
That's some good doppeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good job to that doppelganger.
Right?
My goodness. Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. So, I it's a short one, but.
Yeah. Good use of doppelganger.
Good use of doppelganger. Exactly. So let's raise a glass in memory of the unnamed monk who knew too many people.
Clink.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Mm-hmm. To submit questions for us to discuss, items for the Dragon's Horde, or stories for the funeral pyre, please email us at interpartyconflict@gmail.com. For show notes, links to media mentioned on the show, and running lists of questions and magic items, go to interpartyconflict.com. Join the discussion on social media. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/interpartyconflict, our subreddit at reddit.com/r/interpartyconflict, or on Twitter @inpartyconflict for our weekly social media questions. Your answers might end up on the show. Find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, YouTube, anywhere you download podcasts. Please rate, review, subscribe, or just tell a friend. If you'd like to support the show, check out the rewards at patreon.com/interpartyconflict. There's a few different tiers, so anything you can spare, even $1 a month, would go towards making the show better, and you'll get bonus content for it. Jeff, tell us about FriendQuest.
FriendQuest is a YouTube channel where we play video games, and if you go to reddit.com/r/FriendQuest, I started a subreddit. I mean, not much going on right there right now. I just threw up the playlist that we have for the two games that we're playing right now.
Sure.
I should actually throw up the old ones too.
Yeah, couldn't hurt.
But I'm also going to be doing a post where I just post all the games that I have available. That so if anybody has any requests or anything, I'll put up my game library to see, you know, if anything pops out for anybody.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Cool. And speaking of games, I've started a side project called the Arcade Memories Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can find that at soundcloud.com/arcadememoriespodcast. And you can find it on iTunes and so on. If you would like to submit anything that you would like to show up on the show, send it to arcadememoriespodcast@gmail.com. Also, head over to bit.ly/interpartyconflict to take a short survey about our show. What you like, what you don't like, etc. And just for taking it, you'll get 2 free printable board games courtesy of Mary and Tom over at hollandspiel.com. And our music is made by Boxcat Games from Nameless the Hackers RPG. So, Jeff, until next time.
Gabe.
Yeah?
Gabe.
Yeah?
Wake up. Wake up, Gabe.
Oh, no.
Gabe, wake up.